Are you a deserter? Do you serve at all? Or are you faithful? I mean, there are people in this body that I know I can call and talk to, and they will do whatever I ask them in the Lord in the context of ministry. I have no doubt in my heart that they are faithful to their callings. And I can come and ask them. There's no arguments, no nothing. They're just faithful to it.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, give us a preview of what we'll see today.
Well, Dave, today we're going to continue our look at the founding of the Philippian church in the book of Acts in preparation for our new series in the book of Philippians. So turn to Acts chapter 15 as we look at this amazing passage.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
I believe Barnabas in this situation, although well-meaning, was wrong. He should have listened to Paul. You see, sometimes our actions can disqualify us for a time in the ministry. We're going to see that. The Apostle Paul felt in this situation that John Mark was disqualified from going on this trip. He didn't say John Mark is not a believer. He didn't say John Mark is a bad guy. He just didn't feel that he should go because he had deserted in the past. And yet a wonderful thing we see in Scripture is that John Mark was restored. Although the Apostle Paul had to give special instructions, Colossians chapter 4, we see that Mark in the future became useful and was faithful to Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4:11, and even Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5:13. And although the Gospel of Mark does not identify the inspired writer, historically speaking, it has been attributed to John Mark, seemingly being the case. And if that is the case, which we believe it is, what a tremendous turnaround we have, and it was anyway, regardless of that, a tremendous turnaround we have in the life of John Mark. But there are times where what we do may disqualify us for a time. And then there may need to be some instructions concerning a person because of their failures, like we see with John Mark. And obviously John Mark accepted that, and he flourished in the context of obedience to the Lord and being faithful to Paul and then also to Peter. So with this in mind, I believe that the Apostle Paul and Silas were doing what is right there, John Mark, Barnabas, good intentions. So we have here the tremendous reality that even in the midst of difficulty and conflict. This is a pretty big spat, by the way. I don't think we recognize the bigness of it. They split up. That Paul is wanting to go and he doesn't want to take him. There's a big split up. So evidently Barnabas doesn't think that's the right place to go and the right way to go. So he takes John Mark and goes to Cyprus. So within that, whatever happened with them, we don't know what happened. We'll see later on them reuniting. But we do know that God did restore John Mark, that we mess up. But the point is, reputation in ministry in the context of the Lord is important. We're going to see a subtle contrast in a minute that there was a man of good reputation that Paul finds and takes along in contrast to John Mark, who had bailed on the ministry. There's a man of good reputation. So, but before we look at that, notice verse 41. And he was traveling, that's speaking of Paul, through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Those are Roman provinces. So they've started to go from Antioch, and they're moving towards Asia. They're coming in there. And what is he doing? He is strengthening the churches. Obviously, in the context of the proclamation of the word of the Lord. Now notice, again, as I mentioned briefly, I think there's a subtle contrast here. There's a subtle contrast. John Mark, who did not have a good reputation at that time, he had bailed, is contrasted with someone who did have a good reputation at that time. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. And he, that is Paul, came also to Derbe and to Lystra. He's moving along in Asia, right? And if you look in your little maps in the back, you'll see concerning Paul's second missionary journey, that might be helpful to you. And Derbe and Lystra then were cities in the Roman province of Galatia. And now notice what happens. Luke, who is writing this, wants us to see something that is important. You got this spat with John Mark and they split, and then split. But behold, something is very important here. Look at the middle of verse 1. And behold, a certain disciple was there. And that's Lystra, by the way. Named Timothy. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. We know about them, right? From 2 Timothy. Right? And then Lois and then Eunice, right? The grandmother. Who was a believer. True believer, right? But his father was a Greek. And he was what? Well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. He was well spoken by brothers in those cities. He was well spoken. Now, we know Satan is a slanderer. We know Satan levies false accusations. We've seen a lot of that lately, right, on TV? We've seen that. But when someone is truly righteous and doing the right thing, there is a reputation within that. Those other things don't stick. And here, Timothy was well spoken of. No one's saying, hey, Timothy, he's deserted the ministry. I wouldn't take him. You're going to have to babysit him, whatever. He's not saying that at all. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra. What about you? Would you be well spoken of in the context of a relationship with Christ? With the brothers and sisters from another body, say, hey, what do you think about brother so-and-so? Now, a true, genuine statement. Hey, that guy's faithful, man. He's faithful. He's always trusting the Lord. He's doing what's right. He's doing his work under the Lord. This guy's faithful. Well, I don't know. I never see him around. I don't know. So here we have Timothy well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Now, it's important, and reputation is important. I'm not talking about things we can't stop, which are false accusations. I'm talking about a real reputation before true believers, right? John Mark couldn't go in the ministry because of his reputation of not being faithful. And I praise the Lord later, that's changed, but it did inhibit him in ministry. If you come and say, hey, Greg, I want to teach a Bible study here, I want to do this or that, that's a wonderful thing. But if you have not shown faithfulness to the Lord, there may be a delay in having that happen till there is faithfulness exhibited. You see? And if you are faithful in your reputation of serving Christ, then the Lord opens those doors and there are opportunities. So I want to ask you this. Are you faithful? What is your reputation in serving Jesus Christ? Your reputation in serving Jesus Christ. When people call you, well, I can't really do that. What's your reputation in serving Jesus Christ? Well, we're a little busy right now. What is your reputation in serving Christ? Are you a deserter? Do you serve at all? Or are you faithful? There are people in this body that I know I can call and talk to, and they will do whatever I ask them in the Lord in the context of ministry. I have no doubt in my heart that they are faithful to their callings. And I can come and ask them. There's no arguments, no nothing. They're just faithful to it. And I praise the Lord for that. Timothy was faithful. He was well spoken of the brethren. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Reputation is important. And again, Satan is a slanderer, right? Doesn't mean there's not accusations. They may be false accusations. Talking about a reputation that's validated by behavior. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be desired more than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, concerning elders. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church. That's non-believers. So that he might not fall in reproach with the snare of the devil. And then turn to Acts chapter 6. Because there, they got to choose some people to do some ministry. And guess what? The ministry is looking over tables. And they don't just say, hey, let's just choose this guy over here because he works at the store. He works at the restaurant. For even the tasks of serving tables, there needs to be a good reputation. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 2. And the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables, but select from among you, brethren, 7 men of what? Good reputation. Full of the Spirit and wisdom, which we may put in charge of this task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Timothy had a good reputation. He was well spoken of the brethren back in Acts chapter 16, who were in Lystra and Iconium. And then look at verse 3 back in Acts 16. And Paul wanted this man to go with him. Kind of a difference. There's a contrast. There's a subtle contrast here, right? He didn't want him to go, but he was restored later. But he wanted him to go. And he took him. What if Timothy said no? Well, Timothy said yes, didn't he? And he took him. And he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now we know that the Apostle Paul at this point understood completely, because he had been saved by Jesus, he was no longer a Pharisee. He knew completely that circumcision has no value, that it was a sign of a covenant. It has no spiritual benefit. Just look back in Acts chapter 15, which is what this Jewish council started about, was the issue of circumcision. Or look in the book of Galatians. We see that he does not see it as something that needs to be done. Okay? But he was wise. He was very conscious of those in whom he was ministering to. He knew that the Jews in those areas, if he brought a Jew, Timothy's half Jew, who was not circumcised, that would stumble them. And so Timothy was circumcised for that reason, I believe, as we see. So with that in mind, Timothy is brought with them. And even in the midst of dissension, God still directs. And guess what? God added somebody in for the one he lost, right? Or he didn't lose it, but didn't take with him, right? Isn't that wonderful? If we're following him and relying on him, God is faithful to direct us, even in the midst of difficulties. And again, yes, John Mark was initially not able to go, and he had some restrictions in his ministry, but God turned it around. And if you have been unfaithful, you're one who isn't faithful, God can turn that around. Cultivate faithfulness. Be faithful. The ministry should be the most important thing in your life. Serving Jesus Christ in all the spheres of our lives, right? So then, we see, first of all, that the Lord directs through one's godly desires. And secondly, he directs in the midst of difficulty or dissension. Now notice he also does through continued obedience. Look at verse 4. Now while they were passing through the cities, now these are the cities that they had gone to initially in the first missionary journey. That's what they're talking about. They were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. This was a unique time in the church. It was a transitional time. God had put forth his law. Now, those law and the ceremonial aspects, they were shadows pointing to Christ. Christ had fulfilled those things. But there were people who were seriously struggling with, I want to obey God, and I see this here, like we see in Romans chapter 14. And so they gave some special instructions in Acts chapter 15 to give to the churches in regards to these issues. And within that, if you look at Acts chapter 15 earlier, the whole point is we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but yet we don't want to hurt the brethren in that sense, okay? We want to do what is right. So notice, they were delivering the decrees for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened, what? In the faith, verse 5. They were sharing the word of God. They were being strengthened in the faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. And they were increasing in number daily. Paul and Silas, being faithful to the task that they had been given back in Jerusalem in chapter 15, being faithful to their desire, a godly desire, to see how the churches are doing. And now notice the result. They're being strengthened in their faith, believers, and non-believers are coming to faith. They're increasing in number, right? Paul and Silas were faithful to declare the word, to build the church up, and to draw in new believers. And again, don't miss it. God directs his people when they're about his business faithfully. If you are not about his business on a day-in, day-out basis, in terms of the relationships you have, work, whatever it might be, you're not about his business, then don't expect your desires to be his desires. It's just not going to happen. Those are your desires. When you're trusting the Lord, walking with him, he may put things on your heart. And God directs. Step out in faith and trust the Lord to direct your steps, as we're going to see. But that's only going to happen in the context of obedience. And what's interesting is, as we go out in obedience, sometimes the Lord has to redirect us. He has to change our path when we go out in obedience. It's not that we were in sin. It's that we stepped out in faith, and now the Lord is going to put some roadblocks or whatever it might be and turn us to where he wants us to be because he's faithful. Notice the Lord intervenes directly. He is faithful to direct Paul's steps. Look at verse 6. And they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Wow, this is great. You're stepping out in faith. They're not sinning at all. They're doing the right thing, at least of what they believe God wants to do. These are not written in stone. You shall go here, you shall go there. Paul, you must leave now and go start the Philippian church. No. Following those desires, and God is leading them. And notice what happens. As they pass through the Phrygian and Galatian region, something happened. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Very interesting. Obviously, the Lord did not want them to share the gospel at this time in Asia. We're going to see later on in his third missionary journey, he speaks the gospel in Asia a lot. But this time, nope. Forbidden. Got something else for you to do, Paul, but he didn't know that, right? But he was forbidden. Forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Now, how was that done? This is in Acts. The Spirit of God was actively intervening in things. We don't know how that happened, but God forbade him to do that. Praise the Lord. He was directing his steps. And in the same way, as if you look at your little maps, so he can't go to Asia, so now he's going to go, okay, well, now we can't go any farther this way, that's the ocean, let's go this way up to Bithynia. Okay, let's turn that way now. So he says that they were trying to go to Bithynia. And that tense of that verb is they were continually, habitually trying to go, but guess what? What does it say? The Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. The Lord is the head of the church. When we're about his business, even in the desires that we have, he's going to direct us. It wasn't wrong for them to try to go to Bithynia. It wasn't wrong for them to try to preach in Asia. It wasn't wrong at all. But God, by his Spirit, is directing them. The Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is directing them. Isn't that wonderful? You get a desire. You're following the Lord in your life. You don't know there's any open sin. You're following the Lord. And you get a desire to maybe do this or go there or whatever that might be. And you step out in faith, having been committed by the body in a sense. You trust the Lord. And then the Lord starts to direct. And we see that here. The Lord is directing. The Spirit of God forbade them to speak the word in that Roman province of Asia. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go to Bithynia, right? Isn't this wonderful? He sets out based on his own desire in the context of obeying the Lord. And while he's obeying, his desire is to go this way or that way, and the Lord stops him. Isn't that great to know if you're trusting the Lord, walk with him, he's going to direct your path? I think I've heard some verses like that. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans this way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You trust him. And the wonderful thing is that if you're wondering what God's will is for a certain situation, if you're obeying him, walking by the Spirit, step out in faith based on your godly desire. If you have that, he's put that in your heart, step out in faith, trust the Lord. He'll redirect your path. He may even stop you or not permit you, right? He's very good. So what happens? Now we have a redirection. God not only stops them, he redirects them. Look at verse 8. And passing by Mysia, because they couldn't go to Bithynia, right? If you have your little maps, you couldn't go back up northeast. Had to go back. There's only one way to go, right? And that's to the port city of Troas. And so they come to Troas. This is west in Asia. It's a port city in the northwest corner of the province of Asia. And what happens in Troas? The Lord has led them to the perfect place to be directed to the next step. Isn't that great? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. By the way, we're going to see later on that everyone needs help. We need gospel help. We need help to be saved from our sins. And God helps us by having the gospel declared. If you're willing to respond, he will help you. He will save you. So they're come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach what? The gospel to them. Now, Macedonia is a province over in Europe. It's the northern part. You have Macedonia, and then you have, like, below it, you have, like, those other towns, Corinth and those things down in Greece. And we have this intervention of the Lord through this vision. Come to Macedonia. God is faithful. He will direct you. He will lead you. I'm not saying he's going to give you a vision because we have what we need here right now. Right? The word was not complete at that time, and this is the beginning of the church. But God is faithful. The scripture says he will direct your paths. And so here God directly intervenes, and Paul and them rightly conclude that God had called them to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. And again, Macedonia was in Europe across the Aegean Sea from where Paul was in Asia. And now on a side note, something interesting begins at this point. If you're observing, as we read, as we'll see, we have, from this point on, we statements. It's apparent until verse 40 of this chapter that Luke has joined them. Luke is the writer of this. And now Luke is involved. You'll see as we go through the rest of this point in Philippi, we, us. Luke was in Troas, evidently, and he came on board at this point, literally, right? And we're going to see that later on he stays, evidently, chronologically, he stays in Philippi when Paul leaves. So with that in mind, notice what happens, verse 11. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we set a straight course to Samothrace. That's a little island in the Aegean Sea. And the following day to Neapolis, that's a port city in Macedonia. And from there to Philippi. And then notice what he says, Luke tells us here, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia. This is important information. A Roman colony, and we were staying, get it, we, Luke's with them, we're staying in this city for some days. It's a Roman colony, very important. And again, folks, it is crucial for us to understand what goes on in the next few verses that this was a Roman colony, and it was a special Roman colony. You see, Philippi actually itself was within that. It was called a miniature Rome. It was where officers of the Roman army would retire to go to. And the Philippians were proud of their Roman citizenship. One pastor writes, the city of Philippi was not just an ordinary city. It was granted special status by Caesar after the defeat of Antony during the Civil War. After the Battle of Actium, which squelched the rebellion, a large number of soldiers retired to that city, so it was declared to be a Roman colony. This special status invoked a sense of pride by its inhabitants. It was Rome away from Rome, and that pride is seen in the quotes, our passage here. They themselves saw themselves as, quote, Romans. Rome was their mother, and they never forgot to whom they belonged. They spoke Latin. They wore Roman dress. They were called magistrates by their Latin titles. They were deeply into Roman citizenship and all that it meant. It's important to understand that, because Luke says it's a Roman colony. Now, they would know that, but God wants us to know that, right?
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Haggai. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, the takeaway from today's lesson is simply this, that our reputation in ministry matters. Indeed, it matters to God, because if we don't have a good reputation, we're not going to bring glory to Him. We might actually bring shame or cause His name to be blasphemed. So reputation is important. But that reputation only comes about by totally depending upon Christ and allowing His life to be manifest in our lives. And so the reputation that we have is really Christ in us being manifest.
So then, brothers and sisters, is your life characterized by a good reputation in the context of faith in Jesus? I hope it is. Well, with that in mind, we pray you'll join us next time in Equipping the Saints as we continue to lay the groundwork for our study in the book of Philippians.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.